Welcome to the Love Positivism podcast. I'm Shireen Oberg, and I'm a yoga teacher and author devoted to the path of healing and heart-based living. And I want to help you to step into what you truly are and to your highest potential. On this podcast, I share with you tools and insights to help you move ever forward on your spiritual and healing path. With guests from all over the world, from different wisdom traditions, I wish to create a web of loving energy that permeates the whole world to create more love and peace. You can connect with me on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube for more guidance and love. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to this week's episode. I'm super excited to have a very good friend of mine who you've probably heard before on the podcast, Diana Westley here. Welcome back, Diana.
Hi, Shireen. Thank you so much for having me back. It's always a pleasure.
It's been a while since we recorded. We've done so many episodes together, and we both felt excited to talk a little bit about this new year. The 2024 astrology and what we can expect. And I think you're the perfect astrologer to talk about this with. And you can introduce yourself shortly, and then we can start getting into this interesting topic.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm Diana Westley. I'm an evolutionary astrologer, which means I focus my astrology practice around kind of our soul's evolutionary journey, where we're coming from in prior incarnations, kind of what our evolutionary growth opportunities are in this incarnation, what we're growing toward collectively as well, which is something I'll be kind of talking about today. And the whole kind of premise behind evolutionary astrology is that everything, every celestial event, every planet, every sign, every asteroid dwarf planet, like every archetype that we're working with, there's the potential to evolve, to grow as we work with that archetype. Nothing is fixed. We're not stuck. We're not trapped in anything. And so that's kind of the approach I take to astrology. And I also have a passion for kind of the mythology surrounding the feminine. And so I tend to incorporate a lot of goddess asteroids, asteroids and dwarf planets named after feminine mythological figures and so on into my work. So that's kind of me in a nutshell. Professionally, personally, I am a new first-time mother to a almost three-year-old or three-month-old. Wow, 3 years old would be time really flying to an almost three-month-old. That's kind of where life is for me as I kick off 2024.
So beautiful. And yeah, that has been a beautiful journey together. Just her arrival through our beautiful journey together, she's been such an inspiration for both of us. So I'm really excited to have her in our lives, and congratulations to you and to us and to me. I'm so happy. And aww. I think that I felt like when this year started, there's a different energy than when we started last year. And I mean, we can say that all the time, but I feel like there's something big going on this year, and on a collective, it's been like accelerating almost. And I know that we have big things happening this year astrologically. So I don't know where you want to start. Do you want to just focus on the upcoming astrological events, and then we just go on until the end of the year?
Yeah, that totally works for me. And I think you're right, Shireen. I mean, each year definitely has its own kind of energy and its own themes. But this is the year that, you know, Pluto, this planet associated with transformation, with kind of deep psychic processes, and also kind of associated with our destiny on some level. Pluto is finally and officially changing signs, which might be part of this feeling of a real shift coming. It's been kind of dancing back and forth between Capricorn, where it's been for quite a while, and Aquarius, where it will be until 2043. And so this year it's gonna kind of move. It's moving into Aquarius this upcoming weekend, actually, the 20th of January, just as the sun enters Aquarius. So that's going to be kind of a powerful moment. And then it'll retrograde back into Capricorn just for a short phase, from the 1st of September until the 19th of November. And then it's an Aquarius kind of from then on. And so again, we're kind of making this major shift this year, with that planet that's so slow moving, it's so far from the sun, and that's something that I think we're all feeling. Right before we hopped on this podcast, Sheeran actually also mentioned that there's this healing energy, and I think that's also a really big theme this year, which I'll get into a little bit. But yes, I think you're totally right. I think there is something, really big brewing in the cosmos. And I don't know exactly how it's all going to play out yet, but I'm definitely excited to talk about some of the potentials and some of kind of the archetypes that we're going to be flowing with as this year progresses.
I mean, just you talking about the Pluto transit, and I feel like there's something that has been like stuck with that energy because it's so structured, and now we're moving into a very, I would say, like very different time period with this shift. It's going to be like really stepping out from something that we've been in for so long that it has to like end now, and it's in all the structures in society, and we need to like elevate. So I feel like we're elevating with this shift to a new collective consciousness. So yeah, I'm gonna give it to you to continue this because I'm super curious from your perspective what's happening.
Yeah. So, with Pluto entering Aquarius, there's this really big shift away from kind of the man-made material world where there's been so much focus, especially with Pluto there, kind of a focus on transforming and evolving that world. So even when we think about things like COVID and how it's really kind of changed and evolved our experience of like brick and mortar shopping, or people having to work in the office all the time. There's been like a big move towards more remote working, even school and education. There's kind of been this shift away from some of these old structures that I think everybody just thought would always be that way. There's been a couple of events that have really kind of shifted and changed things. With Pluto moving into Aquarius, we're moving out of this space where Pluto has been transforming and evolving some of our more kind of material structural foundations, and moving more into a place where we're starting to really evolve our minds and kind of move into this higher mind frequency. I think of Capricorn as being a bit more traditional in nature, and so Pluto was kind of helping to evolve and transform some of our traditions, especially those that weren't really serving us anymore. As it moves into Aquarius, Aquarius is a more like progressive energy, and with Pluto, this very intense kind of determined planet placed in Aquarius, I think there is this potential for there to be some kind of major leaps and bounds when it comes to progress, when it comes to our ability to kind of move into a different future versus kind of reliving old versions of the past. And that's, a very hopeful thing to say because, Pluto's been in Aquarius before, and yes, we've made forward progress, but there's always kind of this leaning toward the past that we tend to, I don't know, fall into as humans for one reason or another. But I do get the sense that we're going to be, kind of expanding our minds, expanding our perspectives, exploring and experimenting with some things that maybe we haven't in the past. When I think of Aquarius, I also think of this energy of freedom and liberation. So, the archetype of the water bear of Aquarius is really kind of pouring like information, pouring truth down from the heavens to humanity. When we think of like Prometheus as this figure associated with the sign Aquarius, Prometheus was the Titan god who stole fire from the gods and gave it to humanity. He gave them fire, which gave them light, which gave them illumination, freedom from the darkness. And so with Aquarius energy, we're kind of being liberated from the darkness, we're being liberated from ignorance, or at least that's an opportunity with Aquarius energy. And so when I think of Pluto moving through Aquarius, I do, Pluto is this planet associated with the underworld. There is an association with darkness, but Aquarius kind of merged with that energy suggests even more of an emphasis on kind of tapping into and becoming aware of the unconscious drivers, the unconscious wounds, the unconscious motivations, some of which are going to really fuel our fire for positive change in the future, things that have been kind of buried or suppressed, and some of which are toxic and kind of poisoning us, poisoning our society, poisoning our progress. And with Aquarius, again, we're kind of awakening to and having this illumination of all of these unconscious processes that are within us as individuals and also within our collective. And the more aware we are, the more conscious we are, the more we can kind of take steps forward from a place of consciousness, from a place of awareness, from a place of illumination. So again, we're liberated from the darkness. It's not necessarily about like freedom at all costs, so much as freedom from from that which no longer serves us, for lack of better words, freedom from cycles that we're caught in, that we need to kind of break free from. And so that's some of the energy that I'm kind of feeling coming up with this shift, Pluto moving into Aquarius and ultimately staying there at the end of 2024. And Aquarius is a very innovative sign as well. It is associated with kind of visionaries and opening our hearts, opening our minds to radically different ways of being and doing things. And so I think that each of us is probably going to start to experience that in our own lives. Maybe we've gotten caught in some patterns that, just don't work for us, but we've been doing them because that's what everybody does. And with Aquarius, it becomes about, what do I want my life to look like? What does work look like for me when I'm doing it from a place of authenticity and authentic selfhood? What does love look like? What does parenthood look like? What does my purpose look like? All of these things become more kind of individual in a way with Aquarius, even though it's kind of a collectively oriented sign. It does ask us to really reconnect with that which is true to us, versus just doing what everyone else does, following the status quo and so on. So we're going to be feeling it in kind of a handful of different ways. We're all going to be stepping into this role of the innovator, the visionary, the genius within our own lives. We're all going to be experiencing kind of these little awakenings at different points in time. And I think collectively, we're also going to feel that energy.
It feels so, thank you for sharing that. It feels like a liberation because what came into my mind is that we're moving from this earth reality and this grounded and very heavy, like this grounding, which is also beautiful. It's also the goddess and the manifested, but we're also needing that push to feels like when we have, like walked very far in mud and like taking time, and it's like, and then that release comes because the air is, it is freeing and it's cleansing and it's connected to the spirit. And I feel like so much that Capricorn stands for is can be so beautiful, but it's also like so focused on this physical third dimension of what we're creating. But what we are creating in this physical, so my practice the past couple of months has been so much within the Sufi tradition of understanding how we, well, all traditions that I've studied is a lot about non-attachment, but the earth, it attaches us somehow. And then when we can step out of that, it's a paradigm shift. And it's a, I've been hearing about this transit for years since I started studying astrology, and I couldn't even imagine like what it meant, but it's been manifested so harshly the past couple of years, what these old structures, traditions, and patriarchal systems have, which is within this field, what it's created. Like it's been so focused on this outwardly like manifested world, which can it can come out in different ways. It can be beautiful and great, and we're creating great stuff with that energy. But now it's also like understanding that maybe during this long, long transit, like radical things will happen that will push us into becoming a collective, like a collective force. But it might be an extreme change then, maybe not during our lifetime, but I feel like something is going to happen. It feels futuristic, it feels ethereal, not ethereal, but it feels almost like extra dimensional. And I love the mythology that you brought up too, because that paints like a good picture, I think. But I really look forward to this shift. And I mean, we're coming up to it. So it's not going to happen over a day, but I think we're feeling something as a collective. And what else is going on that you feel is important during this, the upcoming months, besides this big shift? It's hard to read.
I actually, as you were saying that about, Pluto moving into the air element out of the earth element, I was also thinking about how Jupiter has been moving through Taurus. Same with Uranus, and Jupiter will actually be moving into Gemini again, an air sign, this May. And so we're going to have more and more kind of planets that have been for a phase, for a time, in kind of this more earthy realm, starting to move into air. Uranus won't move into an air sign, won't move into Gemini this year, but that's coming soon. We are starting to move into that air element, and it is lighter. There is a feeling of being able to move more quickly and change more quickly with the air element, which is exciting. The Prometheus myth is interesting because, he steals fire from the gods, gives it to humanity, but he's punished for it. So he ends up for eternity, or at least until Chiron, the wounded healer, this kind centaur, ultimately ends up kind of giving up his immortality, giving up his life to save Prometheus from his eternal punishment. But yeah, it's there is that side to air that if we, and I'm not saying that like the gods are going to punish us for progress, but we do have to be mindful of kind of the changes that we put into progress, or put into process, I suppose is a better framing of it. We can change for change's sake, and throw things out that actually had an important purpose. We can start to build things that don't have a sturdy or a stable foundation. So, we want to be mindful of the fact that we are humans on Earth in bodies, and that's kind of an important part of whatever we're building with these visions and ideas that the air brings. That's why air follows Earth. We need those stable, sturdy foundations that Pluto's been transforming, but also helping to kind of put new ones in place while it's been in Capricorn, that Jupiter's also been supporting with, and Uranus, while they've been in Taurus. But as we move into air, now we're able to kind of take those new foundations that we've been slowly building and kind of build upon them with new ideas, with an open-minded approach. And so I'm very excited about all of that. And yet there is the side to it that's like, okay, but we need to make sure that as we bring, let's say, like artificial intelligence into the picture, that we have an understanding of how that fits into our, embodied material reality as well. Like, how is that impacting people, all the way down the line, versus like, how cool is it to be able to use AI for all of these different things? And so that's just kind of a quick example of, how we kind of can marry, this earth phase that we've been going through with the upcoming kind of movement into air, which is exciting, is changeable and all of that. But yeah, and it's also a good reminder that there can be backlash, right? When we try and change, when we try, even as individuals, when we try and come into our authentic selves more and try to kind of liberate ourselves from old ways of being and doing things, there can be backlash. And so that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it, but that's also just kind of part of the reminder as we move into this Pluto and Aquarius, that not all change is well received by others, and so sometimes we have to be comfortable with kind of being, standing on our own a bit, and maybe not being liked by others for a phase or things like that. Maybe being seen as odd or off or eccentric in some way. That's kind of, one side of working with genius is also being kind of the eccentric. So as we kind of come into our own genius, we may not necessarily be liked or well received, but astrologically, we do have some support there. So the North Node is this evolutionary kind of beacon or call towards the future, something that we're being encouraged to grow into right now, the North Node of the Moon. The South Node is where we're coming from. This is kind of, previous incarnations. This is an energy that, right now collectively we're working with to kind of break free from some old patterns, some old karma surrounding the South Node of the Moon. The North Node represents kind of the remedy, something that we're moving toward. The North Node is in Aries right now, supporting that Pluto and Aquarius energy, supporting some of that kind of air energy, that changeable energy in general. And I know that sounds a little bit confusing because the South Node isn't an air sign, but it's in an air sign, Libra, that's very, very relational in nature, that really is eager to please, to get along, to cooperate, to compromise, whereas Aries is this energy of individuation, of, spirit, of coming into our truth and being comfortable standing in our truth and being comfortable standing alone at times, which Aquarius also needs to do. So we have this North Node in Aries energy that's really supporting us personally and collectively toward, toward a more honest, authentic, true, spirited existence, for lack of better words. And that North Node is actually going to be entering a conjunction, or coming together with Chiron, this asteroid associated with woundedness and also with healing. Chiron is actually a really interesting kind of planetary body because, as far as we know, it seems like it's not from our solar system. It got trapped in the orbit around the sun as it was kind of passing by. It's an outsider. And so it's not something that's been with us forever. It's probably, a planetoid or like a planetary body that will eventually leave our solar system. And so we kind of have this temporary, but like long lived, like it's not going to leave our solar system tomorrow. Support from Chiron, from this wise mentor who can offer us a different perspective, from this healer that can support us in our healing journey. and when I see Chiron and Aries coming together with the North Node, that suggests to me, as Shirin was saying earlier, she feels like there's a lot of healing energy this year. We're moving into a phase where healing is going to be such a huge part of the journey. So as we're, kind of revealing these unconscious wounds, drivers, motivators, Aquarius can be associated with trauma as well. These unconscious, kind of trapped traumas in our bodies, and so on. Chiron is there to kind of support us in our healing journey so that we can take steps forward, so that we can move with that courageous, spirited Aries energy, truthful, honest Aries energy that really is all about new beginnings and being able to pioneer new and different things and be our true selves and all of that. Chiron's a really big part of that process right now, helping us with our healing, helping us to heal any wounds around, being left out, being not loved if we are who we truly are, of being seen in a negative light if we assert ourselves, or if we again step into kind of our truth in a really empowered way. Last year, the North Node was closely conjunct Eris, who is the goddess associated with conflict and discord, but so much of kind of the Eris myth revolves around being left out, around not being invited to things, not being invited to, given a seat at the table. And so there's definitely a wound with Eris around, not being included. And as we step into that Aries energy, we can have that fear that if we are who we truly are, we're not going to be loved, we're not going to be included, we're not going to be invited, we're not going to be, kind of we're gonna feel a lack of belonging, for lack of better words. And so again, Chiron can help us kind of heal those wounds, come into the right kinds of tribes for us, find belonging in the places where we're truly meant to belong, and help us kind of belong to ourselves more, versus belonging to others so much. So that's going to be a big energy at the start of this year. The conjunction of Chiron and the North Node is going to be exact on the 19th of February, right after the Sun enters Pisces. So, like, this very, very healing energy. Pisces has that cleansing, healing, compassionate, forgiving energy. And then it's going to be Chiron's going to be really prominent again for the eclipses, which are going to be in late March and early April. So the solar eclipse that happens on the 8th of April is going to be exactly conjunct Chiron. And so Chiron is an energy we're really going to be working with for the start of this year. And again, because it's kind of an outsider in some ways in our solar system, it's also linked to this myth of Prometheus, which has the link to Aquarius. Chiron ultimately frees Prometheus from his punishment. There is this feeling of, maybe there's some fear around the progress that we're moving toward right now, and Chiron can help us move past that fear, by giving us this gift of healing the past, of healing, old experiences where we stepped into our authentic selfhood, and again, we're, kind of isolated or marginalized, or people just kind of, stopped reaching out to us, whatever these experiences of unbelonging were. Chiron can help us heal that. It can help us heal from experiences where maybe we had a vision, where maybe we, were a little bit ahead of the curve and kind of saw things in a different way. We were ahead of our times and people judged us for it. Chiron can kind of help us heal some of those past memories, whether they're soul memories of trauma when we were revolutionaries of some sort, or whether they're kind of memories from this lifetime. There is that opportunity to heal those things now, so we can become more and more our truest selves. We can step into our courage, and really move forward in that way. And so that's going to be kind of an energy that we carry with us through, the spring of this year, and it starts, kind of intensifying now, until then.
Amazing. It's when you start talking about the North Node and South Node, like we need that conjunction because there's a lot of healing needed there because that North Node has caused a lot that since starting that transit, and we can see it and it's still going on. So it's something where it has to soften a little bit, isn't it? Like I'm experiencing a lot of Aries energy right now in my life, and it's so like it's so direct, and like just it has to soften, and that type of energy is not gonna lead us anywhere. We need to like pull back a little bit. So I love that that's happening. And the eclipses, you started touching upon them. The dates you said, it's so we have the solar eclipse 8th of April.
And we'll have a lunar eclipse, a full moon lunar eclipse before that on the 25th of March.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's the first set of eclipses, and then the second set will be in early October, or sorry, first we'll have one in September on the 17th. And that's actually going to be a lunar eclipse, a full moon lunar eclipse in Pisces, kind of bringing in the energy of the next set of nodes, the North Node in Pisces, South Node in Virgo, which we'll be working with in 2025. And then the second eclipse in the fall will be on the 2nd of October, and that's going to be a new moon solar eclipse associated with the South Node in Libra. So we're going to have, there's always two sets of eclipses in a year. Eclipses are, really major portals for kind of releasing things about the past that are no longer serving us, awakening to kind of things from the past that maybe have been unconsciously again driving us, so that we can kind of break free from those cycles, also helping us unearth kind of the gold in the past, that maybe we've lost sight of certain things that are actually really important to us. So it can also help us kind of reclaim some of those things from our past, our karmic past, and so on. But yeah, they are really big times of change and big shifts, big emotions as well. And yeah, so we'll be working with that during Aries season, late March through April, and then again during late Virgo season and into Libra season this year. But yeah, and one other really interesting thing that's happening around the North and South Node, I don't know if you remember, but last year when the North and South Node changed signs and entered Aries and Libra, the ruling planet of the South Node in Libra is Venus. And Venus was in Leo, and retrograde. And so we went through this big Venus retrograde cycle last year where we had to really rethink our relationship to the sign Leo, especially when it comes to our relationships, when it comes to our heart. And that's interesting because this year, 2024, right as the nodes are preparing to change signs again, the North Node ruler, the North Node in Aries, is ruled by Mars. That Mars is going to be in Leo and stationing retrograde at the end of this year. And so we're kind of coming full circle with the North and South Node journey, but Leo is a really key part of it. And when I think about that sign Leo, it's so centered around kind of our creative self-expression, our ability to take the gifts and talents that we've been given, unique gifts and talents, and really bring them into the world, and shine our light, our unique light, in a really beautiful way. When I think about kind of the challenging side of working with Leo energy, it can start to live for the applause, for that light to only kind of come through the prism and show the colors that other people want to see. And so we can kind of lose sight of the full range of color, the full range of gifts and talents, or maybe the true gifts and talents that we have, and start performing for others, becoming what others want us to be when we're working with Leo energy, in kind of a wounded way, for lack of better words. And so with, this Leo energy being such a big part, having Venus retrograde in Leo and then Mars retrograde in Leo, I really get the sense that, another big theme we're going to be continuing to work with the North Node in Aries, South Node in Libra, is kind of this need to release maybe the reactions of others, the projections of others, the expectations of others, the validation that we receive from others. Leo is such a heart-centered sign. It has such a big heart that sometimes it can be difficult for anyone else, like outside of us, to really give that big heartedness everything it needs. So it kind of asks us to come back to a place of learning to love ourselves, even if others can't love us for all that we are, or give us the validation, give us the love in the way that we need it or that we want to receive it. Because there's so much love to give with Leo, but there can be this wound if we perceive that others aren't capable of loving us in the way that we need to be loved. And that Aries energy, we tend to think of it as this, pioneer, this warrior, this courageous, entity that's comfortable just like being on its own, is totally independent and all of that. But Aries is a fire sign. It needs fire. It needs warmth, the warmth of the fire to kind of keep it going. And Leo is a reminder of that need, of that warmth, that love. And so I think, again, we're going to be kind of, working with, you talked about the softening of Aries. Like, I think this Leo energy on either end of this North and South Node axis, the retrograde Venus and soon the retrograde Mars in Leo, is kind of a reminder that, we're not islands. Like, we don't thrive when we're totally alone. Like, we do need love. We do need the warmth of relationships and all of that. But we also are being encouraged to not allow those relationships that put us in boxes, that kind of cage us into something that's not true to who we are. We need to be mindful about not allowing that to drive our existence, to drive our lives, to dictate who we are and who we become. But rather, kind of allowing ourselves to be loving, to experience that warmth, to need that warmth from others, to be in relationships, but to be in relationships in a way where we honor ourselves, where we are true to ourselves, and so on. And so again, you mentioned this softening, and I really think the Leo energy, even though we don't always think of Leo as like a soft energy, it's such a heart-centered energy that it can't help but be soft in its own right. So I also think that's going to be part of the softening and the healing surrounding that Aries North Node energy this year.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I love hearing that. I feel like it's a positive and heart opening that will happen gradually. And yeah, I feel like we're gonna go through a lot of shifts, and we will definitely tune into the lunations together through ceremony and rituals. So everyone who's interested in that, we will is share more about that soon. And is there anything else that is big, or do you feel like there's something important that you feel like a message to share for this year?
Yeah. I think the one other, there's definitely other stuff happening. You know, Jupiter is going to move into Gemini. It's actually going to be making some squares with Saturn this year. So, you know, Saturn represents kind of, you know, structure and goals and time, like things taking time. And Jupiter is this very like expansive energy that just kind of wants to go beyond the limitations. And so we're going to be experiencing some of that kind of like the interplay and the balance between expansion and contraction, between again kind of wanting to move into these new airy Jupiter and Gemini ideas, and needing to recognize kind of like the structures that exist, make sure we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater as we're expanding into new ideas. You know, we're going to be experiencing some of that push and pull this year. But another really big event is that Jupiter is going to make a conjunction with Uranus in Taurus. And that'll be on the 20th of April, right after the Sun enters Taurus as well. So the Sun will also be kind of in that earthy sign. And there's a lot of different ways we can think about Taurus energy. There's a lot of different ways we can think about Jupiter. This kind of expansive energy, beliefs are associated with Jupiter, coming together with Uranus, this planet associated with change, revolution, evolution, and so on. But one thing that really comes to mind or to heart for me is, a shift and a really big change potentially in our values and our value structure. And so with Jupiter in Taurus, you know, there can be this desire to expand in the material world, to have more stuff, more things, you know, because, you know, Jupiter is the sign of abundance, and Taurus has an association with the world of matter, a very direct association with the world of matter. I think that's kind of an old value system or value structure, to have more, to desire more, to crave for more. Whereas Taurus also really desires simplicity and ease and peace and less. And so I kind of get the sense that, you know, this Jupiter retrograde journey we've recently been on, where we've been kind of rethinking and reflecting upon our experience of Jupiter and Taurus, and now it coming into conjunction with Uranus, which really ushers in some sort of epic change around our experience of that Jupiter and Taurus. I get the sense we might move into, you know, personally and maybe collectively, hopefully, kind of a new value system where less is more, where we kind of return to what we truly value, so that we're not caught living a life and trying to keep up with a pace that's not true to us. You know, Taurus really values slowness. Again, that's part of the peace, the ease of living a Taurian life, is allowing ourselves to kind of move at our own pace. Whereas, you know, in order to kind of keep up with the proverbial Joneses, we can find ourselves kind of moving at this breakneck pace to continue to accumulate and acquire more. And sometimes it's not what we truly value, right? Like, we really value love or relationships or family or some sort of work that maybe isn't as lucrative as another form of work. So again, I get the sense this is really going to ask us to come back to what we truly value, and kind of free ourselves from any any value trains we've found ourselves on that are moving us full speed away from what we truly want. So again, this is, I get the sense, going to be a really big reassessment of what we value. Do we value the earth? Do we value, you know, consumption? Do we value, you know, what is it that we really, really care about? And coming back to that. And you know, some people are really great examples of that. We can use that, you know, Pluto and Aquarius kind of experimental energy to start like putting feelers out there and kind of seeing how other people are living, how other people are doing things to help us kind of reconnect with what we truly value and see that these different lifestyles or different ways of being kind of are accessible. And more people are kind of moving into those different lifestyles and moving away from, again, the status quo. This is the way that everyone's doing things kind of mindset. But yeah, I get the sense around April 20th, around that time this spring, there is going to be kind of a big shift. It's going to be right after the eclipses as well, shift in values. So kind of just being aware of that as we start to move into this year, like how much of our lives and what we do and what we try to achieve, especially in kind of the material world, how much of that is dictated by the values of others versus our own values. Where are we ready to start shifting our lives to live more in alignment with our own values? So that's one other kind of major date and something big that's on the horizon. And I love Taurus energy. I'm a Taurus rising. And I know you're a Taurus moon and a Taurus Jupiter. There's a lot of value to before we move into Jupiter and Gemini and start to move into this more airy space, there's a lot of value to rethinking our values, to rethinking some of this kind of these Taurian themes as well. That's the last big thing.
I love that the last thing was also so connected to the divine feminine, as we always tap into it, but it feels like the other things are also, but like this was really something where we can work with that balancing of the divine feminine through the Taurus Venusian energy. So it's so important. That's how also the softening can happen with those energies. Yeah, I love that. And I love Taurus season as well, and all things that is around those months. I really love that. So we'll see what happens around May and those dates for us as well. I love that. I think that we will definitely tune into more astrology over the months as usual, and for definitely the eclipses and the upcoming new moons and full moons to tap into that. And I'm really grateful that you had the time to share today. So I want to thank you so much, Diana, as usual.
Oh, thank you, Sharon. It was so beautiful. I always love connecting with you. It's fun to get to just kind of think about and talk about these things again because, moving into this new chapter of life has been so amazing. But sometimes I also kind of lose sight of some of these other passions in the process. So I really appreciate you having me on and wanting to talk about these things with me and encouraging me to kind of tune back into them again.
It's so healing. So
Yeah.
thank you so much, Diana, and we'll talk to you soon again.